We're in the midst of a study of that which makes a believer strong against Satan and his kingdom of darkness. Just this week, I had conversation with two different leaders of two different youth organizations that are bringing together some Christian young people for ministry and various kinds of summer missionary activity. And both of these Christian leaders, independent of each other, were seeking my counsel over some problems that they were seeing related to demonization, demonic activity in the lives of some of these young people who are wanting to be a part of these missionary outreaches. A few years ago, I remember saying repeatedly that I believed that our culture was opening wide the door for some unusual demonic activity against us. You cannot be a part of a culture that is giving itself to intoxicants like drugs and alcoholism with all of its dulling of the will and minds of those who participate in that kind of thing, which only is like an open door to other forces to begin to want to manipulate their minds and wills and emotions. You cannot be a part of a culture that has become as spiritistic with all of its experimentation with occult games, occultism in entertainment and in music, and open activity of seances and witchcraft and even the worship of the devil himself. But what again, it's like an open door saying to the enemy, here we are, do with us what you want. You cannot be a part of a culture which is giving itself to licentious, perverted sexual activity, such as so characteristic of the day in which we live. But once again, it's like an open door to the enemy. Now, we have the privilege of protecting ourselves and our families because of what God has provided for us. And that's why I felt constrained to get into this Ephesians 6 passage again and to talk about being strong in your union with Christ. Talk about being strong in the power of the Holy Spirit. And being strong through putting on each part of the armor. And I personally feel it's urgently essential for you Christian parents to be doing this for yourselves and especially for your children, protecting them, watching over them. And today we come to the third part of the armor. It's mentioned in verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 6. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. What a wonderful thing to have peace. What a serious thing it is to have feet that hurt. Have you ever noticed that when your feet hurt, you hurt all over? I remember Anita had years ago a spur removed from her little toe. I never remember my wife hurting any greater than she did as a result of that surgery for several days. Very, very painful. And when you hurting your feet, you don't make a very good soldier. That's why our military people put great stress on examining the feet of a soldier, making sure also that the soldiers have comfortable shoes, good shoes, that give them protection and enable them to walk with the best possible comfort, because they make good soldiers. I remember a friend of mine years ago, when he was examined or given his physical for possible military service. The Second World War was just beginning to come to an end. And he took his physical about the same time that I took mine. And he flunked his. In fact, he was made 4F. And he was deeply indignant over it, because they failed him for his flat feet. And it was ironic, because he was the fastest runner in our whole school. He was the 100-yard and the 220-yard dash champion of our whole district, and almost won the state. And yet, because he had these flat feet, he was rejected from military service. That shows something of the priority that even our military puts on having good shoes, making sure your feet don't hurt. All of this to remind us that when you hurt in your feet, you hurt all over. And to remind us as Christians, when you hurt in your peace that rightfully belongs to you, peace that God provides for you as a part of your salvation, peace that you're to wear, peace that you're to be careful to maintain and put on your feet and walk in it and stand in it. When you are hurting in your peace, you're really hurting. And it's serious. Most of us have lived long enough to know that the communists seek to exploit revolution by creating terrorism, unrest, chaos, turmoil, problems, killing, and anything that they can do to create chaotic lacking of peace, because they know that when people get so upset in such conditions, they'll accept almost anything just to come back to a degree of tranquility. And communism promises so much but delivers so little. That's why today, all over the world, where communism is ruling, promising but not delivering, that there's such terrible unrest. And it looks like communism as a political system is in great trouble, because it can only rule through its terrorism and its tyranny. That's very typical of the way that the devil tries to rule over you and me. One of the strongest ways he tries to get at you is to rob you of your peace. He wants to promise you peace, his way, and thus you find counterfeit peace through drugs and intoxicants. And it all seems, when you're under that state, to be so peaceful, but it's all phony. It's not real. And oftentimes, as it wears off, you discover you're in greater torment than you were before you took it. And that's that way with everything Satan tries to use to promise you peace. He wants to promise you peace and happiness through pleasure. But those who enter into that game only discover that they have opened their lives to disease, or some other great problem that tears them apart. He promises peace from material wealth. He'll only come his way, but that doesn't really bring anybody peace. He promises peace through counterfeit religious cults and isms. But those who go that route soon discover they're in bondage. Satan's peace is never peace. It's bondage. But God's peace is real. And the peace that God gives protects you from the activities of darkness. And I want us to focus upon some of the essential ingredients involved in wearing the sandals of peace. It's very important to know these. Putting on the armor is not just a ritual. It's an understanding of what it is. And when you put on the sandals of peace, it includes, first of all, our position of peace. Our position of peace. I like the way the verse that we quoted last week states it in Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that little preposition, with, is an extremely important preposition. It's the promise that through justification, the enmity and the hostility that exists between a holy God and a sinful people is totally removed against you. The war is ended between the Christian and his God. And you have peace with God. It's an intellectual peace that you know with your mind. Now, in case you doubt the necessity of that, you need to look at the scripture. For example, in Romans 5, beginning with verse 9, we read, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, that's the condition of the non-believer, there's a battle going on. Wrath is against the non-believer. We're the enemies of God. When we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Now, there are many passages that speak about this enmity, this battle, this lack of peace between a holy God and a sinful, unforgiven, unsaved person. I like the way that it's put in this book of Ephesians, where we're dealing with, in the very first chapter, he speaks about the battle, or the second chapter, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You see, the people who don't know Christ are manipulated freely by Satan, even though they may not know it and may deny it. Verse 3 says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Not a very pleasant thing to think about. But it's true. And in fact, in the book of John, chapter 3, a very familiar text, John chapter 3 and verse 36, where he says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Now, I mentioned that this is mental peace that belongs to the Christian. How does the Christian know that the battle's ended? How does he know he has peace with God? There's only one way you can know that. It's a doctrinal matter. You see, justification is not something you feel. It's not something that you experience. It's a judicial, legal declaration from a holy God. And that's why Romans 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, and it's like God's hand pointing at the cross and all the finished work of Christ, therefore, because of what Christ has done, you are justified by faith, and you have peace with God. The battle's ended. The war is over. And that's mental peace. Satan will try to rob you of that. He'll try to make you think that God's mad at you. And that's why you're having all the troubles you're having. I have a young friend who said to me one day, I don't know why God's angry at me, keeps punishing me, but it's okay. If that's his will and his plan, it's okay. Now, his attitude was wonderful, but his theology was terrible. You see, God is not angry at him because he's having troubles. Now, I grant you that sometimes the Christian has to go through discipline and chastening. But that never is an indication of God's anger or wrath. It's always an indication of God's love. That's why you read in Hebrews chapter 12, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. So putting on the sandals of peace means you have an intellectual understanding of what the Word of God says, that the Christian has peace with God. And if you're to walk in the sandals of peace, it means you know that, and you review that, and you stand in that, and you never turn aside from it, even with the most subtle attack of Satan upon you. But our peace, our sandals of peace, also includes what I call our possession of peace. Our possession of peace. And for that we turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And it's a very familiar portion. Most of us know it by heart. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, where we read, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God. Another very important preposition. The peace of God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, in this text, he's talking about feeling peace. And this part of your sandals protects your emotional peace. You see, God intends that the Christian not only have legal peace, mental peace, but that he have and walk in emotional peace, the peace of God. Maybe I can illustrate the difference by lifting a story out of my past experience. When we were going to build our new church building in Colorado, we were just about ready to build when we got word from an attorney that we could not build where we were going to build because one of his clients had the legal right to a 15-foot strip of land right in the center of where we were going to put our sanctuary. And this utterly baffled us because it hadn't shown up on any of our procedures in the purchase of the land that we were going to build upon. And we discovered that years ago there had been a road deeded through that part that had long since been abandoned, a 30-foot road. Half of it had been claimed by the owner of part of the land that we had purchased, but the other part that we had purchased had never been claimed by the owner. And a very clever man in the community had discovered that, and so he filed what is called a quitclaim deed to that 15-foot strip. And it was a very strong legal claim. Now, our attorney advised that if we went ahead and built, we could probably win it in court, but it'd be very costly and very tedious. And even though we would win the case legally, we would certainly not have peace with that man who believed he owned it. And so one day I went to him. And at first he was quite arrogant, but the more we talked, and the more I just shared with him what we wanted to do, the more he softened. And finally he came to the place where he was willing to sign over all of his claim to that for $500. The legal thing was settled. But more importantly, there was also a piece of relationship settled. So much so that later on when we needed a lot of land upon which to move the old parsonage, this man sold us a lot for $500 that was worth way more than that, just because there was more than peace with, there was peace of. There was a relationship of peace. Now, this is what we have from God. How does this peace come to the Christian? How do you gain it? Well, it comes, first of all, by the practice of prayer. Did you notice that in that text that we looked at? Don't be anxious. In other words, don't lose your emotional peace, though you may be facing a very worrisome experience. Don't solve it that way, by worrying. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now that's real praying. Let your requests be made known unto God. And while you're doing that, God has promised something supernaturally wonderful will happen. That the peace of God that passes all understanding shall supplant and replace that anxiety that was destroying your peace of God. Now, I know that works. I know it most importantly because the Word of God says it works, but I know it experientially because I cannot tell you how many times I have resorted to this biblical formula to walk in the sandals of peace. When some anxiety has been gnawing away at me and my peace of God seems to have flown away and there's nothing but trouble and anxiety and uneasiness, to get alone with God and to pray and doctrinal praying and just keeping my heart right with Him. And I don't know how God does it. But all of a sudden, that which seemed to be so destructive disappears. And there's a peace of God back there. You see, the Holy Spirit brings you peace when you walk in the Spirit. And going to prayer is a very important part of walking in the Spirit. I've often used the illustration of that electronic technology of the little beeper that a number of you wear. Some of you are physicians and some of you in other kinds of work where people need to get a hold of you. So you wear that little beeper. And when somebody wants to talk to you, the whole process is set in motion, and pretty soon your beeper beeps and you know somebody wants to get a hold of you. I believe that's a wonderful illustration of how God sometimes wants to have a prayer time with you. And one of the ways He may come is to let you feel uneasy, anxious. And when that happens, it might be your Heavenly Father beeping you, saying it's time to be alone with God. Peace of God. Very important part of your understanding, walking in your sandals of peace. But it also includes what I've called our protection of peace. The 9th verse of this 4th chapter of Philippians talks about this. Let me read it. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. I like that part of the verse. Paul could say that because he knew he was walking in obedience to his Lord. And the emphasis is upon obedience. But notice what he says. And the God of peace. It's no longer the peace of God. It's the God of peace will be with you. Now, what's this talking about? Well, I believe it's talking about the protection of our will. It results from protection from the strong, powerful nearness of God to you. It's that peace that sometimes God just brings about when your enemies are just about to do you in. And when the God of peace says, no more. No more. You can't touch him. He's mine. That's illustrated so many times in the Old Testament. When God's people were just about to be destroyed, the enemies surrounded them, outnumbered them, hundreds and hundreds to one. There was no escape. Sometimes they were starving. And they cried out to God, and the God of peace came. And the enemy was put to flight, sometimes with hornets, sometimes with sounds in the heavens that frightened them. And they just fled away. If you want to read something about that, please turn to such passages as 2 Kings 6 and 2 Kings 18 and 19. Wonderful stories. You see, God is omnipotent. He's almighty. And when He wants to protect you, you're protected. And this peace comes from a walk of obedience. It's very interesting in the New Testament. There aren't too many places where this statement, the God of peace, appears. But in every one of them, it is in a context of obedience. That's why that passage that we read from John 14 was so important. A passage that says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's talking about the God of peace. A God who is so powerful that just as Proverbs 16:7 says, when your ways please the Lord, He makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. Obedience. If you're hurting in your peace, examine your obedience. Are you trying to walk your own way instead of God's way? God sometimes will let you walk that way. But oh, dear friends, always know the God of peace is there. And He's able to make your enemies be at peace with you quickly. And they'll have to flee just because of who He is. But I must hurry to the last point. These sandals of peace that we're to walk in includes the person of peace. The person of peace. That's such an important concept to understand. In the second chapter of Ephesians, verse 13, we read these words, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one. He Himself is our peace. Now this peace protects our spirit. It has to do with our spiritual relationship. And it's almost difficult for me to say this because you all know how much I place upon right doctrine and the importance of it. But our faith is not primarily a system of dogmas and doctrines. Our faith is primarily a relationship to Christ. 1 John chapter 1 keeps emphasizing that. John says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And our peace is a person. And it's a relationship. A relationship that you enter into through faith. You have to know Him. You have to receive Him. Be saved by His saving grace. Come to know Him. A relationship of salvation. You maintain that relationship through memorizing and meditating upon the Word, through confession and cleansing when there's sin in your life, through service and good works. He promised to be with you as you would serve Him to the end of the age. Your peace is a person. Are you wearing your sandals every day? Do you take time to put them on? Remember you have peace with God. That through prayer and the Holy Spirit's fullness, there's the peace of God. Emotional peace. That through obedience, there's the God of peace who makes even your enemy be at peace with you. And your peace is a person, the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. O our Heavenly Father, today again, how we do rejoice before the God of heaven that we can walk with the sandals of peace. We're thankful that we do not need to hurt in our peace. that you've provided us all that we need to enjoy the fullness of our peace with God, the peace of God, and the God of peace, and the Lord Jesus, who is our peace. In Him we pray. Amen.